Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Over the past 15 years, the city's total public safety costs have grown faster than the city's general revenues. This is a critical financial problem that needs to be addressed now to balance future budgets and to secure the city's long-term financial stability. That's the opening line from a city's task force report looking at the growing expense of the health and pension funds for the city's firefighters and police officers. We're joined by former City Councilmember Reed Williams, a member of that task force, to discuss the problem and take a look at what's being recommended. We invite you to join our conversation. You can call in at 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. Welcome to The Source, Commissioner or Councilmember Reed Williams.
Thank you.
So, how big is this problem? You describe it in this report as a critical financial problem. Is how critical?
Well, it is a critical problem. It's a growing problem. And we'll talk about on Wednesday in front of the council, the general funds over the last 10 years have grown about 4.1%. At the same time, the public safety costs have grown about 5.6%. And specifically in two areas, the uniform personnel expense has grown about 5.7%, and the non-personnel public safety support expenses have grown about 2.7%, 5.7%. So both of those areas, and the one area that has gone down in the public safety area, is the civilian public support staff. That's only grown at about a 3.6%. So you clearly have public safety outgrowing the three sources of revenue in the general fund.
All right. So but as the city figures out what to do with its limited resources, and they are limited, as many zeros as there are you have in the budget, you've got to figure out this balancing act, right? And it's a tough call.
Exactly. It's the council's responsibility to set policy. And so I think when we first sat down as a group, we wanted to make sure that there was a clear understanding that we do have an expense outgrowing the revenue and a disproportional outgrowing for the other expenses. But at the same time, we want to convey to the public that this is a manageable situation. We've clearly grown public safety in purpose. I mean, when I got on council, people said, we want more police. We need another fire station. We built one at Beckwith Lane. So it's something that the public had called from the very beginning. And frankly, we were a little behind a few years ago. Now, maybe in trying to get our public safety up to where everybody wanted, we ran it a little far. But those are the things that you do in budgeting. And the council can set that. They can say, what's appropriate for our size city? Is it 65%, 67, 68, whatever percent the number is. When I got on council, it was in the mid to high 50s. It was a little low then. We're tagging in pretty close to 70% now. That's probably a little high. So that's something that the council is going to have to look at and set a policy. That's their job.
But the issue is the pension and the health care benefits for the union members, the firefighters, and the police officers, right?
Well, that's what we were directed to look at, and that's what we did look at.
But it's all coming from one budget item, is that it?
Well, it's all the general fund, which is right under $1 billion, okay? And of that, the public safety, just to give you a perspective, the public safety cost is about, that number is somewhere right in the $650 million range, or I'm talking about 2013 numbers here, the most recent finished audited year. So, yes, it is all one big piece. And also in the general fund, don't forget, we have to fund street maintenance, libraries, parks. There's a lot of things that we fund. Now, picking up your trash is in a fund. It's in the solid waste fund. Doing the work getting your permits, those are under the building services fund. So we have quite a few funds set up, but the general fund primarily supports most of the activities of the city.
Right, but people are looking at how much the benefits are costing for the health care and the pension for the firefighters, right, and the police officers. They negotiated. We've got that contract runs out pretty soon, up in September. That runs out,
right.
And so is there going to have to be a reduction in what that contract is going to look like in the future?
Well, our job was to look at the numbers, and I'll give you an example. The active duty health care for the uniformed personnel has grown about 9% a year, whereas the general fund's only grown slightly over 4% a year. So, yes, I think directionally we are going to have to look at health care. But we were looking at three things. We were looking at pensions, we were looking at pre-funded retiree medical, and we were looking at active duty health care. I'll remind you, we were not negotiating. Our job was to look at the numbers and understand the numbers. And when we looked at the pension, it's not growing significantly faster than the general funds. Maybe over that period of time, just slightly more than the general funds. So, and it's well managed and it's well funded. So in that particular case, that's also controlled by legislation in Austin. So you're going to have to, if you're going to protect yourself against some downturn in the economy, which would hurt the funding, we've made a recommendation that we increase the reserve to 15% so that we have a little bit of a shock absorber there.
But the Texas fund is seen as very healthy, one of the better funds in the nation.
I don't know if it's the Texas fund. It's the uniform. It's the fire and police's fund that their retirement pension fund is very well funded because we continue to fund it. Now it's expensive. Okay, the city puts in 24 cents for every dollar, and the employees put in 12 cents. So 36 cents of every dollar of pensionable wages gets another 36 cents put into that fund, and it's put all the time. So it's well-funded. Now, during the downturn, it did obviously drop on the coverage, but it's come back. It's strong, but it is expensive. Now, that makes a very important thing for the fire and police folks because they work 20, 25, 30 years, and they're retiring before they get to 65. So they need something. They need some income.
Well, they can retire after 20 years.
They can, but they can. They retire at maximum amount, which is, 87.5% in 30 years. So many of them go to 30, but let's say you retire in 20. You start at 25. You're retiring at 45. You're going to want some pension there for a period of time. Now, it was kind of one of these pay me now, pay me later. And clearly the unions have negotiated and had it very important to them to have a deferred payment plan, and that's what the pension is.
So is there going to be a recommendation that's when it's released later this week,
right,
to asking San Antonio's active duty firefighters and police officers to take a reduction in health care benefits coming from this task force?
What we've done is now we're moved to health care. We just moved off of pension. So now
right.
We're on active duty health care. What we are recommending and what we have shown, I think, in the numbers is that this particular health care plan is much more expensive than any other even uniform plan. It's quite more expensive than civilian plans, but it's also more expensive than uniform plans around the state. And for that reason, we think that definitely needs to be looked at during these negotiations.
All right, we're going to continue talking about what these recommendations are from the task force, looking at the health care benefits and pension for the emergency workers for San Antonio. Our phone lines are open. We welcome your calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back.
$6 million fire stations are unnecessary. We don't want those. When we went through this task force, we've shown them that the health care costs for firefighters are trending downward. When Cheryl Scully first introduced the budget, she said the legacy costs, which were the fire and police legacy costs, were going to break the city. Then the next day, she said the public safety budget. Was the association president, I don't have control over them spending millions and millions of dollars on a CAD system. It's broken. I don't have control over them introducing telestaff and all this technology and monies and things that we don't need. I'm on record saying don't spend the money. That big $89 million fire chief, police chief office doesn't do anything for the citizens. But when you talk about our benefits and the guys that are on the street, putting it on the line. I got 9 cancer cases from guys in the line of duty. We're not the ones causing the problem.
That is Chris Steele. He was recorded on a show of The Source that we had a few weeks ago. He's the president of the San Antonio Firefighters Association, talking about what his concerns are if there are cuts to health care benefits and to his members of his rank and file, firefighters in San Antonio. With me in the studio is Reed Williams, former San Antonio City Council member. He's on a task force for the City Hall where they're trying to look at the numbers. Where are these benefits? Have they gotten too generous? Are they too sweet? Is it costing the city too much? Are able to afford it? And some recommendations are going to be going to the City Council later this week to see what's the future for these funds. So Reed Williams, let me ask you, react to what Chris Steele is saying. He's saying that so much is being spent on other things like firefighters and fire stations and headquarters, but not and they're getting blamed for that. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if they're getting blamed for that. I think that Chris is trying to make the point that as we build these fire stations, and of course those are built with capital dollars, this is an expense budget, and as we build other things like the headquarters, that's done with capital dollars. But after you've built the buildings, they do cost more. Chris is right. And if you look at the non-personnel public safety support expenses, those have grown at about 5.7% also. And I think that's an important point that Chris is trying to make. But what we were asked to look at was not the overall public safety budget. We were asked to look at 3 things: the pension plan, the pre-funded retiree medical plan, and the active duty health plan. And that's what we looked at. Now, I would tell you that I don't have in front of me the active health care broken between fire and police, but in for all uniformed personnel from 2003 to 2013, the active health care has grown from $21.4 million to $51.7 million. That's a 9% year-over-year compounded growth. So in that particular area, we are, as a community, going to have to figure out a way to control that expenditure. We just simply cannot allow that expenditure to continue to grow at that rate. Now, are there things that are being done? Absolutely. One of the areas we looked at was the pre-funded retiree medical plan. And in that medical plan, the money is pre-funded, and the union runs that plan, and they have made some very good changes to their medical plan. They've gone on all generics. They've changed the way the deductibles work and everything. So I think that even the uniform personnel understand that today we have to all work together to control these medical expenses. And those are some of the recommendations we made. We clearly said that it's probably appropriate to pay part of the premium. The deductibles need to be very carefully considered. If you look at the percent of the expenses by the uniform personnel, the number that we were given is 9% paid by the uniform personnel, 91% by the city. That's radically different than just about any other plan I can see.
Okay, let's get our callers in on the conversation, and our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Isaac has called in. Isaac, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I had two questions, actually. The first one is much like a home budget, if you will. Do you guys look at inefficiencies within the current budget, current spending, and try to work out those current inefficiencies prior to making these recommendations to City Council? And the second question is, before you guys make recommendations to City Council, do you guys consider the reason fire and police have these better benefits, specifically due to health issues, cancer, injury, and potential death? I'll get off the air and look forward to listening to your response. Thank you.
Okay, Isaac, thank you for your call. So he's asking about efficiencies. Is there places where we can put some efficiencies in there?
Well, I'd certainly hope there are.
Find savings?
Yeah. that's where you do the best, is where people find the savings themselves. I think it's been proven that if you put rules on there, people don't follow them as well as if you put some financial penalties on there if they don't do it. One of the things that we made a recommendation is that only individuals that are authorized to be on the plan be on the plan. And that's a place we can probably save some money because maybe there's some folks that are on there that shouldn't be. And one of the recommendations...
Well, you mean like family members?
Yes. And so what we do, that maybe someone that's gotten too old or somebody that's not qualified anymore. And so we've made a recommendation that the plan be audited so that we make sure only the people that are qualified are actually supposed to be on there are on there. Yes, there are numerous safety things, but I really like the second part of that question. I think it goes to the heart of a lot of people's concern. We all know that our first responders are at risk, and we all want to be sure and take care of them. So there is one of the things that our committee did is we authorized a study to be done, uniform versus uniform across the state. Now, that study has just come out. Clearly, it's going to get a lot of scrutiny and vetting, but the reality is we do believe that you need to compare, I do believe you need to compare uniform personnel to uniform personnel. Sometimes it's not quite apples to apples when you compare uniforms to civilians. However, even when you do that, the uniform plan is very much more expensive than the civilian plan or other uniform plans that I'm seeing around the state.
So we're talking about the family members of our emergency workers, and they are currently on the same plan that the mm-hmm. emergency workers are
yeah.
on.
It's family plans, yeah.
So, but there is an issue of, like, if you are one of these emergency workers, you're subjected to so much more risk. You know, police officers, firefighters, mm-hmm. EMS guys. It's a risky business, and so that justifies, I guess, in a way, why they would have such a strong health care plan. But does it raise the question that the family members should not be on that same kind of plan?
No, that's not what I said. What I said is they might have some folks signed up on the plan that maybe the child is too old, they should have come off the plan, maybe there's some kind of change in the family, that person's no longer qualified under the plan. So it's a matter of making sure that the people that are supposed to be covered are covered, and the ones that aren't supposed to be covered are not covered.
So these numbers that the city manager, Cheryl Scully, has come up with, how confident are we in these numbers about how soon San Antonio has to deal with this or else we're going to face a crisis?
Yeah, well, I never have been real comfortable with a lot of projections, okay, because you got to make assumptions on the projections. I'm very comfortable in the 10-year 2003 to 2013 historical numbers that we've looked at, and those show a trend, as I just pointed out. For example, the active health care growing up 9% compounded annually, those show a trend that we need to change. Irregardless of what the future says, that trend needs to change. So when you see a trend on historical numbers, numbers that are actually put in the books and audited, you better start making some changes.
So the tipping point, she's talked about a tipping point, I think it was 2030 is what she talked about. And then that's when it overtakes the budget and the whole budget's dedicated towards. But there's some people who have kind of like shaken yeah. their heads about that and say, well, that's kind of I don't know how they came up with that.
Well, I don't know. I just never have really looked at it that way. The way I looked at it, I took the historical numbers, and we certainly did some projections out. We projected out.
So things may not be as dire as we heard.
They're not uncontrollable. Let's don't use the word dire, but I think the perception is that this was not a controllable thing, that it was just going to overcome us. I don't think that was ever Cheryl's intention. Cheryl's intention was to say, if we don't start making changes now, this is where we'll wind up. Well, we're making changes. We're sitting down and having this discussion with all of these people at the table since October. We're looking at the numbers. We're having the public discussion that we're having right here on this radio. And we're going to make a presentation to the council. We think the council should take action to set some parameters for this, and then they're going to sit down and have negotiations. So we are doing something about it.
A big part of negotiations is trust. You got to know that everybody's coming to the table in good faith. Yeah. And do you think people who are kind of questioning whether or not the city is coming in good faith, what are you going to tell those folks?
my discussion with people is that while there can always be posturing before negotiations, and certainly you don't...
It's part of the game, I guess.
It's part of the game, and you don't want... What I absolutely did not want, and I did not want this to become a negotiation. So we didn't vote on anything. We didn't set any kind of negotiating positions. We just said, let's sit down and talk about this. So when I talk to people, I think that the folks on all sides absolutely are willing to sit down and negotiate this.
So this is coming to City Council?
Well, we're taking these recommendations Wednesday to the City Council, yes, and the B session.
And you'll just be reading it off, and there'll be some highlights, and people will tune in and find out where this is going, huh? There'll be a lot of people watching that day. Thank you so much, Councilmember Reed Williams. Thanks for joining us. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.